A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of grace.
Well, after that children's sermon, I think the children could come up here and preach this sermon. My dad used to say, "And a little child shall lead them." This encounter between the Syrophoenician woman and Jesus is considered a healing story in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus miraculously heals the woman's young daughter, who is tormented by an unclean spirit. But as we reflect on this story, we might find out that there is more healing going on here than meets the eye. For a long time, this story made me very uncomfortable. I was always taught that Jesus was perfect, the Son of God, a person without sin. But even as a young person, it was clear to me that Jesus was doing something wrong here. He calls a woman a dog. I couldn't make sense of it. Jesus, God's loving representative, treating someone in this rude and insulting way. But on the other hand, it was not okay to question Jesus's perfection. I've come to realize if we can loosen our grasp on this traditional doctrine, a treasure trove of much deeper and maybe more important lessons can open up for us. Jesus, physically and mentally exhausted from all of his activities in these last several chapters of Mark, sets out to a house in the region of Tyre so that he can rest and regroup. He hopes no one will find him there. But someone does find him. An unnamed woman, known only as the Syrophoenician woman. She's probably from the Roman province of Syria. In Matthew's gospel, she's called the Canaanite. But what we know for sure is that she is a Gentile. In other words, a non-Jew. And she's also a woman in a world where only the men are supposed to speak to the men. She is what one commentary calls triply marginalized. She is a woman, she is a Gentile, and she is a foreigner. But she is also desperate. Her little daughter is suffering, and she has heard what Jesus can do to help people. The scripture says she immediately heard about him, came to him, bowed down at his feet, and begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The children Jesus is referring to are the children of Israel, or the Jews. And the dogs, well, they are everyone else. In the Hebrew Bible, calling someone a dog was an insult. It was linked with impurity, otherness, and being an outsider. He is using a degrading metaphor here when he refers to her and her people as dogs. Why does he say this? This isn't the message of loving your neighbor as yourself. Is he tired? Just wants to be left alone? Is he having a moment of being easily irritated? Is it because she's a woman and she really isn't supposed to be talking to him? Or was he just being short-sighted? Having a limited moment of being embedded by a blind spot of bias. After all, in Romans, it does say that he was sent first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. But regardless, it's painful to think of how his words would have hurt this woman. But it doesn't stop her. She could have given up, walked away, but instead she uses his metaphor to her advantage when she says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In other words, maybe I am a dog. Maybe in your eyes I'm not as important as the Jews, but we will take the leftovers. Just help us. This woman goes toe-to-toe with Jesus. Her love and desperation for her daughter drives her, maybe also her own boldness and wit, but she speaks up, and it works. Jesus responds, "For saying that the demon has left your daughter." The word "saying" is translated logos, literally meaning the word, her words. In Matthew's gospel, she's commended for her faith, but here in Mark, it is because of her speaking. And Jesus, well, this is where I start to like Jesus again. In fact, this might be one of his finest moments. He changes his mind. He is humbled and reacts maturely, and because of this woman's boldness, he is empowered. Because he was willing to listen in this small conversation, he is opened up to encompass the vastness of God's mission for him. That grace and love and mercy are for all people, not just the Jews. And maybe in a sense he already knew that, but this heroic woman helped bring it to fruition. After this encounter, Jesus soon goes on to miraculously feed 4,000 Gentile people. What he's done for the Jewish crowd earlier in Mark, he now does for the Gentiles. He gives them bread, he gives them life, and he gives them healing. The Syrophoenician woman and Jesus share a conversation. She speaks her case, and Jesus listens. And because he hears her plea, he can hear more clearly the pleas of God. Pleas of mothers and fathers, pleas of Jews and Gentiles and insiders and outsiders, and the healing of broken relationships is suddenly within reach. So who is this woman in this story? She is a teacher, a debater, an orator. She speaks for all who have been silenced or othered or who are desperate. She is the poor person we see walking down Lancaster, talking to herself, whose difficulties become all the more challenging because of her mental illness. She's the father who has a son with a disability but can't pay for his therapy with his minimum wage job. She is the mother carrying her three children across Central America because life is so dangerous and traumatic in her home country that she is willing to face the terrifying journey in the hope for a better life. Perhaps that's why she isn't given a name. She is all the so-called dogs of our world today. She is everyone whose voice needs to be heard. And who is Jesus in this story? Well, he is every one of us who needs to have our ears opened. He's a reminder that we often speak too quickly before really listening. He teaches us to have humility, to remember that we do not know it all, and that developing empathy requires discomfort and a whole lot of growth. But if Jesus can be willing to change, shouldn't we? When he lets a woman have the last word, he becomes more fully human and more fully divine. This is a healing story because as Jesus is opened up to the wideness of God's mercy, he then opens others up to that wideness. We become more like Jesus when we embark on a journey that includes learning and growing and changing our minds. And through this journey, we become a little bit more of what it is to be human, and we live a little bit more into the divine. Our church is reading a book together called Crossing the Line, Finding America in the Borderlands by Sarah Tell. All of you are invited to read along with us through a book study that begins in October. This book follows Sarah's journey to activism on behalf of some of the world's most vulnerable people at our border. Reading from the summary on the back of the book, it was family separation and kids in cages that drove Sarah Towell to the U.S. southern border. On discovering the many-headed hydra that is the U.S. immigration system and the heroic determination of those caught under its knee, she could never look away again. In the book, Sarah hears the stories of those she meets on the border, those who are trapped on bridges in Mexico that have become makeshift refugee camps as they have to wait often for months for their asylum cases to be heard. Those who are still looking for their children who were taken from them when they arrived. those fearful of being deported back to their places of abuse and extortion, and those jailed in detention centers even though they were seeking asylum in a legal way, and even though seeking asylum is not a crime. She also experiences those who are listening to these valuable people's pleas. So many ordinary people, teachers, attorneys, aunts, grandmas, and many others from all over the country are doing extraordinary acts of service. They are helping make the camps on the Mexico side safer from the cartels. They are cooking breakfast and dinner every day for over 2,000 people and carrying those meals across the border and the bridge in wagons. And they are still trying to reunify children and parents who were separated from one another. Because these servants have listened to the cries for help, their compassion springs them into action in so many different and selfless ways. There is so much broken in our immigration system, and I know there is so much I need to learn. But one thing is for sure. While some want to put our neighbors at the border in the category of the dogs, or the criminals, or the drug dealers, or the lazy ones, or those overcrowding our workspace or making our home life uncomfortable, that is not who God sees. God sees only beloved children. And God wants our mission to be broken up so wide that we live and act in such a way that every person is just as important as our own family. The truth is, this story convicts me. This woman convicts me. I feel uncomfortable for a whole different reason than I used to. It isn't about whether or not Jesus is perfect. It's about whether or not I am able to be like Jesus and listen to the people who cross my path that, if I'm honest, deep down, maybe I consider them less valuable than myself. If I really examine my heart, where are my blind spots? What is culturally embedded in me that causes me not to feel the pain of those who don't look like me, or don't speak my language, or don't have my education, or don't practice my religion? Who is welcome? And who gets the leftovers? This story insists that we speak. Like this woman, speak up for anyone who needs help, anyone who is seen as an outsider, because you never know how your words might impact another person's point of view. And this story also insists that Jesus, we get really good at listening. How does the negative rhetoric in our society paint groups of people in a negative way? And if we're not careful, do we start to believe it? To confront those biases, we must put ourselves in positions to hear people's stories. Go on the mission trips, read the books, watch the documentaries, ask questions, write letters, volunteer right here at home. Do the work. And most importantly, we can pay attention to those who God may put in our path that we might cast aside at first. But because they speak their truth, they have the capacity to change and open our minds and our hearts. I find it remarkable that the healing story that occurs right after this encounter is one where the man cannot speak or hear. Jesus puts his fingers into his ears and touches his tongue with his spit, and Jesus, who has just had his ears opened, now heals this Gentile man. And he can speak and hear. Ephphatha, Jesus proclaims in Aramaic, be opened. Your tongue is loosened and your ears have been made clear. And even though Jesus didn't want him to tell anyone, he couldn't help himself. He shouts the good news of his healing from the rooftops because healing is available for everyone. Can you imagine what might happen if we were all opened up to the wideness of God's mission of love and grace and mercy for all people? Yes, this is a healing story. But I ask you, who was healed? Was it the daughter? Was it the woman? Or was it Jesus? Or is it us? Ephphatha, be opened, my friends. Speak and hear, and may God's healing come. Amen.